Mercy, Lord, upon us. Restore and heal broken lives and broken lands. And Lord, we pray that you would minister to us by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Please be seated. Returning to Psalm 90, which is page 599, once again this morning. I preached in a hall last week, which is not a regular place of preaching. And I knew it mustn't be a place regularly used for preaching because there was a clock in it. And it was a clock above the head of the preacher. And we don't do that. Other denominations, I think, have clocks that are visible by the preacher, which is a signal to the preacher. But there's no clock in here. And you're all tempted now to look at your watches, which I will tell you to do in a little while anyway. But we're thinking this morning about time, how we use time. Something we occasionally treat with great seriousness. Maybe when we're doing something we enjoy, we feel we have too little of it. And something about which we often can be ever so casual. We think we have all the time in the world. This has been a year of marking time in a number of different ways, of very significant anniversaries. Time for great Thanksgiving, 60 years of the reign of Her Majesty the Queen, where the length of time is reason for celebration. And other things, the Titanic commemorations, the Ulster Covenant, reminding us of commemoration, looking back and thinking how long it has been, but sometimes with reflection. And today, when Armistice Day and Remembrance Sunday coincide, this is a time for solemn reflection indeed. And we set aside this time in our service to think about some of the questions that confront us on this Sunday each year, where we admit that the passing of time doesn't take away past wrongs or in itself help to heal past wounds. Time is not a healer, really. But our honest appraisal of life and death, our human condition, should point us to the one who can do both of those things, who can heal, who can deal with past wrongs. The one to whom we look today is the Lord himself. God is at the heart, as he should be, of Moses' thinking whenever he wrote those words in Psalm 90. These are the words on which Isaac Watts based the hymn that we'll sing at the war memorials today, O God, our help in ages past. So much in this psalm that Isaac Watts only got to verse 6 in terms of his hymn. We find that wherever Moses looks in Psalm 90, to the past or to the future, he finds God there. At the beginning of the psalm, he doesn't look back 100 years or 1,000 years. He looks back beyond almost time itself. He says in the first couple of verses, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting. You are God, looking back and looking forward. God is timeless. We should be able to trace his hand wherever we look in our lives, trace his work in us. The reality is God is timeless, but we are not. We're all too aware on this Remembrance Day of the brevity of life. Moses was conscious of it too. I'm just picking out a few examples from the psalm, but if you look at verses 5 and 6, it's a very consistent psalm throughout, but it tells us how frail human life is, this physical body. Moses says, you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it's dry and withered. Never allow us to feel and to think that our brevity as human beings takes away our worth as human beings. It doesn't. We are still of great value to God. We are special, we have sung this morning. But it does put our lives in perspective before God to realize how weak and feeble we are. And as that happens, as we become conscious of our life in perspective with God, we remember too his judgment and his wrath, which is highlighted in Psalm 90. As Moses contemplates God's eternal power, his timelessness, he is very conscious of the weight of sin. Verse 8, he says, "You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away in the light of your wrath. We finish our years with a moan." Remembrance Day needs to be set in the context of recalling our common accountability before God, that all of us will one day stand before him on a universal scale as well as a personal one. God sees the wrongs in this world, its injustices, its war crimes, its sin, its inequalities, its pain. And all of those things have been confronted by God's righteousness. The hymn writer in that last hymn talked about this, the cross standing triumphant, confounding the world, showing the world different values. And there will be judgment before the Lord. God has been there in our past, but there's a future to think about too. Moses reminds us that no matter how far back we look, we find God there. But no matter how far forwards he looks, he finds God there too. Moses was obviously at a reflective point in his life. He knew that he wasn't to enter the promised land, and yet he had led the people to the border, to the horizon, as it were. But he has hopes for the people. So he looks beyond himself to the next coming generations, and he shares those hopes in verses 14 and 15. In verse 17, he prays, "May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. You might feel today, we are right to do so, that the past and the future are, in a sense, outside our control. And God, as this psalm so clearly tells us, transcends all history. He is in charge. But we do have a question to answer today. How will we use this moment? How can our feelings that we've thought about as we thought about the past, how can our feelings about the future make a difference to us this morning? We need to be moved to make a response to God, as Moses was. His power, his judgment, his eternity. It's okay now to look at your watch for a moment. I keep looking down at mine. Have a look at it. Watch the little second hand ticking round. Time is important. I realize that as I approach middle age, still a long way away. I wonder, how can I use the moments, every moment, to serve the Lord? Passing of time brings struggles. We're all aware of getting older, each of those ticking seconds. We're all aware of the loss of loved ones and those we've said goodbye to. We need to pray with Moses, as it says in verse 12. "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." We should mourn. We should mourn as we do today. We bring our reverent respect for those who gave their lives in conflicts on noble days and very dark days. We should mourn for this world in all its frailty and weakness and sin. We must learn also somehow to mourn for ourselves. It might actually be a powerfully liberating thing, acknowledging our weakness before the Lord, acknowledging our mortality, as we're so powerfully reminded in all the symbolism of this Remembrance Sunday, to admit our sin, but also to know God setting us free. What we mustn't do today is waste our time. Each moment is precious. Each moment that can be used for the glory of God. So as we continue in worship, as we make our way to the War Memorial in just a few minutes, let us pray for a godly sense of past, of present, of future, and God's eternity. And let us decide today to use our time to glorify him in giving our lives to him. Let's pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, teach us to number our days wisely, to have a heart of wisdom. And Lord, to use each moment before you. Lord, to bring before you the regrets and sadnesses of the past as well as its celebrations, and to entrust our lives to you for the future and for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.